I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
This is an
EADIN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
EADIN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's Don. Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV,
Ray Rowe.
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Look at me! Look at me!
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
What part of your body made that noise?
And I'd like to say good evening to myself.
Have some weep-worthy chicken.
And to the caller earlier.
Dom.
Sorry?
Dom.
And to Dan Orlovsky.
I wish it was a carpet.
You know, I wasn't here for that part. Did he admit to emitting gas?
No. What part of your body made that noise?
He said he wished it was
a flatulence. What was the sound?
But it was not. It was his mouth. He thought he was recording. He was live. He made a I messed up sound, and that was it.
By the way, I've got the initials. PB, as Don said, is press box. TC is what you're in, truck compound.
Oh, wow. That's the place you really – that's the toughest cred to get.
Yeah, that's the money shot right there.
That's the one. It's not the first box, which is like for field access.
No.
It's the last box that gets you into a remote parking lot.
So you would fast forward.
That's where everything is transmitted around the world. So if you didn't want Fox to be on the air today, if you find the right cord,
right,
you can upset everybody.
That's right. So we're fast forwarding to the truck complex.
If you go downstairs from where you're doing the show with you and Claude, they have like great candy in the metal filing box.
I don't want to go rummaging through a box.
No. That's what it's there for. There's Swedish fish, and then there's this huge bag of Halloween chocolate candy.
Oh, where is this?
Downstairs in the first floor of the complex.
Oh, yeah. Well, complex, that's strong. There's coffee there, too.
Yes, yeah, so, I was given a coffee. Someone said, do you need anything? I said, actually, if you have coffee, I would love one. And they have a Keurig.
I'll tell you what. I got to tell you. I know you guys are only partially. Yes is a great place to work. They treat their employees really, truly wonderfully.
You know what they are?
They're great people.
They're simply the best. Am I right?
Better than all the rest.
Simply the best.
Better than all the rest.
Oh, by the way, let's lastly say good evening to Marty in Queens.
Hello.
Marty. Hello.
Hey.
What's up?
Hi. Quick point.
No, too late.
Oh, boy.
That wasn't nice. But we found out that it was, intent. He had intended to blow the whistle before he actually disconnected. So, but it's still, it didn't come across great. Bad guy move.
So you're saying that it was the premature evacuation of a caller?
Yes.
Let's start off ENN.
It resulted in a truck compound.
Right.
Let's start ENN with Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And start with our very own friend of the show, Coney, David Cone, on ESPN Radio, talking about judges need to win a World Series.
you can't hold it against Aaron Judge if the entire team doesn't come through in the World Series. I mean, it's not like basketball or even football where the quarterback has the ball in his hands all the time, or LeBron James, every time down, you can throw the ball to LeBron James. Aaron Judge has got to wait 8 times to bat. So that's the beauty of baseball, and that's what makes this individual achievement that he's done this year so significant, because it is such of a team sport. You're so reliant on your team, and all you have to do is look out to Anaheim and the Angels and Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and see two of the best players you will ever see on a losing team. One player or even two players just cannot carry an entire team in baseball.
Now, here's one thing. I'm not saying David is wrong by any stretch, but let's say a player has an unbelievable season, and you can't win a World Series by yourself.
No.
But it's game 7 of the ALCS. You're down by 1 in the bottom of the 9th inning, and there's a runner at third base with 2 outs, and you strike out to end the series, fans will turn on you. They'll forget about the entire season, especially in New York.
Now Judge may catch more of a break than, say, Stanton, because he's homegrown and had a phenomenal season. But if the Yankees lose and Judge, you know, in a best-of-5 series goes 2-for-20 with no home, with 10 strikeouts, no home runs.
Unfairly, there will be some luster taken off.
And the series ends like it did for Carlos Beltran with a strikeout with the bat on his shoulders. Again, he won't get destroyed like some, but it'll be like, oh, well, that wasn't good.
But you know what, Don? Carlos Beltran had a great career with the Mets.
Right.
And that's all he's remembered for.
And it's a shame. I don't even think it's probably the greatest free agent signing in the history of the organization. And we'll see what happens with Lindor, but up until this point, and yet he's remembered for that. And yep. And Judge hasn't been bad in the postseason, but he hasn't won here. And if he rakes like Stanton did last year and they lose, then they'll kill Cashman and Boone and the rest of the team, and Judge will still be untouchable. But you can lose a series for a team in baseball by, you know, leaving a small village on the bases.
But what I'm saying, Don, even if you have a decent series and you have a great season and you're the one who strikes out the bases loaded in the bottom of the 9th inning, they're going to remember badly about what you did.
But you know my scorching hot take.
What's that?
Scorching hot. No, there's no one walking into this playoff with more pressure than Gerrit Cole. If Gerrit Cole lays an egg in the playoffs this year and the Yankees get eliminated, he doesn't get a chance to redeem himself, it's going to start getting a little tough here next year. I'm telling you. People have expectations when you bring someone in for that kind of money.
At least this is what it's for. At least it won't be a one game and done. At least they're, you know, guaranteed a series.
Right. At least it's not completely his back.
Peter's right. They're going to be able to line up their rotation. They're going to get a bye.
He'll start 1-5.
Yeah. And if
also, Don, you can't even compare Lindor to Beltran because Lindor was acquired in a trade.
That's right. I was just thinking about the forget. You're right. So I guess
maybe
it would be
Scherzer, but Scherzer's only 3 years.
Right.
But if he wins 3 championships with them, then that's a great free agent signing.
No, but really, honestly, tell me who is a better free agent signing than Beltran.
No one. You're right. He was great.
Amazing. That's right. Lindor was traded, and then they gave him the contract. So, yeah, the only one would be Scherzer.
Let's hear from Jeff Passan, our good friend on SportsCenter, talking about Judge's season and where it matches up with the great offensive seasons in history.
The question is not, is Aaron Judge great? It's how great he is compared to his all-time peers. Is this the greatest season we've seen offensively in baseball history? And the answer, I believe, is no. Now, here's the thing. The greatest seasons in offensive history have dings to them. Babe Ruth was playing baseball when the game wasn't integrated. Barry Bonds put up some of the best adjusted OPSs of all time. Well, he did so with performance-enhancing drugs in his system. So if you want to talk about being clean, if you want to talk about the offensive environment, if you want to talk about the context surrounding everything Aaron Judge is doing this year, you could make a pretty good argument that it is one of the best seasons of all time. But at the top of the list, not quite there yet.
Well, that flies in the face of what Buster told us. He thought it was.
But I punched up Ruth 27. All right, batted .365, an on-base plus slugging of .1258, slugging percentage .772, on-base percentage .486, 165 RBIs, 60 home runs, 158 runs scored. He will have beaten Judge in runs scored, RBIs, walks, on-base percentage, slugging, on-base plus slugging, and batting average. Now, is it Babe Ruth's fault that it wasn't integrated? I mean, it's still a single season, you know, so those are some unbelievable numbers. But the fact that Judge is in the conversation is incredible. And that, and take a look. Andrew is showing me and reminding me, I should say. Take a look at the Barry Bonds 04 season. Not the year he hit 73. His 04 season. Guy walked 236 times and still put up amazing numbers. Even though it was PEDs, it still was unbelievable, the statistics.
Oh, no. You can't. If we count those seasons, you can't look. You count the record. You can't look past the season.
That's what's amazing about all this, Michael. Why are they pitching to the guy? Well, I mean, there's a possibility he won't walk 100 times this year.
Yeah, it shows you how silly other managers are. Especially now, all players are coming back, and Rizzo's more of a threat. But there was like a 2 week stretch, Don, where Stanton was hitting behind him, and they continued to pitch to him when Stanton couldn't hit.
And those 94 walks, which is astonishingly low for somebody who having that great season, is not because he's a free swinger and doesn't have a good eye. He's got a great eye, and you saw it in that last at-bat last night where you kind of would understand if he went fishing with the game already being over. He won't do it. He won't swing at a pitch outside the strike zone. He's that disciplined. But the fact is that tells me they are pitching to him.
Let's move to the basketball of it all, shall we?
Sure.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but
did you close out Diamond Notes?
Oh, you know what? Oh, you're such a professional. That's what you are. That was Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. We have not spent much time on the Ime Udoka
story.
Sometimes
you forget that I'm Sully.
You know, you remind us, and I appreciate it.
I'm Sully.
That's right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's talk Ime Udoka, Boston Celtics head coach. Everything was looking really fantastic, okay? Year one, run to the NBA Finals. Could not have been a better start. And then last night, Woj tweeted that the Celtics would be suspending Udoka over violating an organizational policy. Of course, as the night played out, while we were sleeping, at least I was sleeping,
like Udoka was too.
Oh boy. The information started coming out that he had a consensual, intimate relationship with an employee of the Celtics, a violation of the organization's guidelines. And it was at first a significant suspension. Now it looks like that suspension will be 1 year. Let's hear from Woj.
Expectation is that the Celtics are going to announce as soon as today that Ime Udoka is facing a 1 year suspension as head coach of the Boston Celtics, that Joe Mazzulla, one of his assistants, will become the interim coach. And listen, this is a shocking upheaval for a Celtics team that was in the NBA Finals last year in Udoka's first season. But this has played out over the last several days, I'm told. And, you know, the suspension for Udoka is historic for a sitting head coach in the NBA for what's being described to me as an improper relationship with a female staffer, a consensual relationship. And so, you know, the Celtics on the eve of the season trying to repeat as Eastern Conference champions, they're very likely going to do it for the entire season without Ime Udoka.
This is a tough subject. I'll say this. I do not like the judgment exercised by Udoka, and like I just as a fan, like that to me, when you're the boss, that sort of judgment, you know, and essentially, let's face it, the head coach is the boss when it comes to basketball, and so I'm definitely disappointed and consider it to be a real problem to have that happen in the workplace. I'm surprised by a year suspension, though. I am surprised by that.
Well, I felt a couple of ways, Peter. The consensual aspect of it, to me, immediately made me go, they're adults. I mean, I think the woman's married, but there's a consensual relationship there.
And he's in a long-term relationship.
He's in a long-term relationship, not married. So let there be a higher being that judges them for that. But then you find out that the Celtics have a rule about these inter-office relationships, whatever, they can't do it. And I've also read that he was warned at one point to stop.
Right. That's being said.
I mean, so then he deserves a punishment. I mean, they told him to stop.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, if that part's true.
I mean, to discipline somebody because they're having a consensual relationship that you might not think is kosher, that's wrong. But if he's having a relationship, it might be consensual with the person, but it's against the rules of the place where you work, then the suspension, I think, is warranted. And I believe me, I'm no prim and proper person in that, oh, this is terrible. Stuff goes like this, goes on like this all the time. All the time. But if there's rules against it, what's more important, the relationship that you're having or your job? So he knew what the rules were, and he felt the relationship was more important. Now he's paying with it for a year in his career.
Now, how do you feel about it being a year-long suspension versus at this point you just move on from him? Obviously, he seems incredibly talented, but, like, guys, this is a team that's poised to make a run again next year, and you're going to go without your head coach the whole season? I don't know. It's tough to me. Part of me, I don't want the guy to get fired, but part of me thinks they'd be better off just firing him and getting someone new.
Yeah, kind of like the Phoenix Suns situation where we speculated that would the suspension eventually lead to him selling the team, which it looks like it will. Is this just part of the exit strategy?
I think he
gets suspended, and now, well, here's the thing. It not that valuable that they bent the rules for him, that's for sure. So they're going to go a year without him, and if they win, then...
No, that's what he means. Don means that they didn't bend the rules for him.
Yeah, I mean, you just...
Well, and that's why I'm surprised with the amount of the punishment. Because, Michael, you're right. If it's a violation of team policy, suspension, cool. But when they get to make the call, not the league, why would you go 82 games?
Again, I guess it's an individual thing between the team and the employees. Maybe right. It's laid out in their guidelines. I'm not sure.
Maybe, but it also just could be, well, if you're willing to have him sit out a year, you at least have to be willing to never having him coach again.
But listen to how, like, screwy this is, though. Now, again, the Celtics guidelines are the Celtics guidelines. I don't know what the rest of the NBA, other teams' guidelines are. But in Cleveland, Deshaun Watson, we know what he did. That doesn't even get him a year suspension. And that doesn't sound at all like it was consensual. In fact, it wasn't. This guy had a consensual relationship, and a team comes down on him and said, that's it, you're gone for a year. So I guess it's different rules for different places, but you can't tell me that what Udoka did is worse than what Watson
did.
Watson did was illegal. What Udoka does, you could say it's immoral, but it's not illegal.
But it is kind of weird when it comes to Watson. That the obligation is always more on the team in which he committed the act than the team that picks him up. Because the Browns are like, well, he never did anything to us, you know, and he's not going to do it when he's here. That right? So the team's obligated to always get rid of the player that does the awful thing. And then anybody else could pick him up and nobody bats an eye. You know, so that I guess that would be the difference. And if he was really just told not to do it and did it anyway, but my point is, if you're willing to have him go a full year, and it's not like the Celtics don't have expectations, and they went to the finals last year, then you must be willing to not have him coach at all.
Now,
that's the piece.
Michelle, who listens to the show, just tweeted this out, and she's right. How can Udoka and the Suns owner get the exact punishment when the two offenses are light years different? Again, it does seem unequal, don't you think? Did what they say he did.
Well, that's the thing is, do we have absolute positive evidence? Did they have him?
Well, it seemed like in the report they have him.
Well, we speculated that too. I mean, how was he allowed to keep the team if he did all those things?
Well,
how is it any different than Sterling?
You can't
Sterling
leave out,
had they had audio. They had proof. They had him.
You can't leave out, though, the $10 million fine. Udoka's not getting that.
Right.
But so that was a piece of the punishment, too,
But Udoka probably makes $3 million a year, something like that. So he's not going to get paid for the, during the suspension. So $3 million to Udoka means a lot more than $10 million to a guy like Sarver.
That's true.
But I think, because I asked, well, how is it any different than Donald Sterling? Well, they had audio of Donald Sterling. They had him cold. The owner of the Suns denied. So the fact that they didn't have him cold might have ended up with the 1 year, but it ended up getting them to sell the team, which I think was the end game from the NBA anyway. And as far as what's going on in Boston, guys, you know how the world works. You know, people, organizations kind of frown down if you give a guy an out and he doesn't take it. You know, I get the speculation could be, what if they told him to stop and he didn't? Wouldn't that tick you off?
Yep. Now, the one thing with Sarver, too, he could be punished, right? He's going to sell that team for $2 billion. So, yeah, he's not going to own the Suns anymore, but really, what's the punishment for him? He walks away with a lot of money. He made a lot of money on that team. So, oh, what a terrible punishment. Give me my money.
Well, I mean, you do what you can do.
Well, they didn't force him to sell. He's selling.
Yeah, he's selling now. For the record, I knew that was going to happen. When everyone started questioning the NBA, did they do enough? I had a hunch that wasn't the end of the story.
Right, well, because how is he supposed to move forward? All right, so he comes back from the suspension. Who's going to want to play for him?
I mean, what's Chris Paul saying?
You know, how are the fans going to react? He had no choice. And then the NBA knew exactly what they were doing. But they probably didn't have enough evidence, Michael, to make them sell the way they did Donald Sterling. And that's probably why that – because what would be the difference?
We can all agree, though, that this Udoka story in the NFL wouldn't even get – it wouldn't even see the light of day.
Well, that's what's also interesting is that how do we know all this?
Well,
why can't
what do you
mean? If you're Boston, why can't you just say he violated team rules? Why did you even have to go with the affair? Why is it anybody's business?
Who originally leaked the affair part?
Don't know.
I wouldn't think it's him.
I wonder who the source was on that originally, though.
If it's the Celtics, if they leaked that it was an affair, they have no intention of him coaching for them again.
But here's my question, Don. A team of this level, when you're a Yankees, a Lakers, a Celtics, could they really have managed this whole season with just he's suspended? We can't tell you why.
That's a good point.
How do you manage that?
I mean, good organizations keep it tight. I mean, we still don't know what happened, why Malcolm Butler wasn't in that game. We still don't know. Like, if you're really good at it, you could say, we're not saying he violated team rules. That's it. That's all we're prepared to say.
Do you want to know something that was terrible that was happening today? Hmm. So there was this thing that he's having a consensual affair with somebody. And so many media.
Oh, I saw this.
They're printing different pictures of women that work for the Celtics. How dare you?
Disgusting.
These women might not even have known the guy. They might be working in another part of the building. And you're implicating them because you just want to put up every woman that works for the Celtics? Sometimes as a business, the media is really disgraceful.
You're not wrong. That will do it for ENN on this Thursday evening from Yankee Stadium.
You making a pick, Skippy, or not?
Oh, yeah, Don, pick or nah?
Nah.
Wow, you are
gutless. Well, I'm taking the Browns and giving 4.5 for my 1-point pick.
Oh, Don, you sure? You don't want in on that?
No, but he doesn't want in because he's gutless. That's why.
Come on, Don. Don't be a gutless puke.
Nah.
Oh.
Wow. Truly
wow.
Is.
What a. Wow. What. Woo.
You're taking the Browns in how many points?
It's 4.5, right?
No, yeah. What's your allotage?
1.
Call him gutless, Don.
No. Good. That's a good pick, Michael.
Remember, I'm in the lead. And I'll tell you what, Peter, you haven't really enjoyed it yet.
No.
When you nail a Thursday pick, what a relaxing Friday when we make our picks.
You get the 3? You get the 3, it's TC.
My problem is
Truck compound?
It's truck compound when you get 3.
Too bad, Don.
See, if you don't listen to the whole show, you miss. If you just tuned in to ENN, you missed the whole thing.
You go, what does that mean about truck compound? Anyway, we're going to take your phone calls. We have a lot on the buffet. Then we'll talk to Dan Grosso as well. 1-800-919-3776. That is indeed the number. You're watching the Michael Kay Show on YES, and you're listening on the ESPN app or 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.